from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Amari Cooper talking about Ken Dorsey and the offense he is bringing over from Buffalo. We do have a lot of questions on what that's going to look like. What are some of these central tenets? Like, we know when you hire a new defensive coordinator, the defensive coordinators all say the same thing. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to hit hard. We're going to be fast. Offensively, I think you hear a lot of the same stuff from a lot of the coordinators, but what did you make? I'm joined by Danny Cunningham in on Ken's final day off before Monday. When you hear Amari Cooper talking about Ken Dorsey, did anything stand out to you that wasn't commonplace from what every new OC is trying to get accomplished?
I mean, not a ton. The fact that he did bring up that the offense is going to feature some of the things that he feels like he did in college when he was at Alabama, I think that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me in that clip. Because a lot of offenses in the NFL, it's kind of been homogenized to where pretty much everyone not looks exactly the same, but has pretty similar concepts and does things in similar ways. So I am excited to see what they are going to bring over that looks similar to what it did last year and in previous years under Kevin Stefanski. But there are also going to be things that I do think are going to be different. And I think that there are going to be things that they can do to better utilize Deshaun Watson's athleticism. And that's the one area where I think, even though, and you and I have agreed on this, the processing speed for him hasn't been as fast as we would like it to be. The reading of defenses, I don't think, has been what it was when he was in Houston. The athleticism has still been there. He's still been really good when he's able to get outside of the initial structure and make plays. So I do think that there are ways they can do that. And Amari Cooper could be somebody that benefits from that too.
Well, and with the news yesterday that Ken Dorsey would not be calling the plays, that Kevin Stefanski would retain the play calling, it led to a bigger question about what is this offense that's coming in? Is it going to look that drastically different? Because some fans are clamoring for that because they want to get the most out of Deshaun Watson. Everybody wants to get the most out of Deshaun Watson. But what you don't want to lose is the stuff that you did really well with Kevin Stefanski, and especially when Joe Flacco came in, they did a ton of things really well that you may not have seen.
Right, they did. I mean, the play action stuff they did with Joe Flacco was the best play. And
so is that gone? Is that going to be gone?
No, I don't think so, because I do think that's been part of Kevin Stefanski's offense the entire time. I just don't know how well Deshaun Watson's operated that. Because if you go back and look at what Baker Mayfield did really well, I thought he was terrific in play action in that 2020 season. He was really good in quick game. Thought he was really good in play action. The other areas are where he struggled.
And Stefanski scheme guys wide open.
Exactly. And I think he's done a great job of that in play action. Even, you know, some of Joe Flacco's big plays that he made last year, some of them were him taking some risks, which we saw flipped because he threw how many picks and pick sixes when he was in a Browns uniform. But how many of those were also he was able to take deep shots because dudes were just uncovered so far down the field? Like, Kevin Stefanski, I think, does a great job of scheming guys open all day long.
Because when that offense is done right, that is the case. Yeah. I think people have seen that over the years. 216-474-0092. A little bit later on this segment, we will get to maybe one huge question mark that was addressed yesterday at training camp. But when it comes to the offense, something I feel like not enough people are talking about. Here is Kevin Stefanski on the impact of Ken Dorsey on this new offense.
I feel real confident about Ken's ability to coordinate the offense, and so much goes into that, whether it's install, managing the staff, And then, as you know, Ken is the main voice in the quarterback room. Now, I'm in there every day and listening and adding when I feel appropriate. So there's a lot of really strong voices in there. But I do think Ken has a unique perspective. And I think that's – I feel really confident in his ability to impact both the quarterback room, but more importantly, the offense.
Danny?
I think it is. I think the quarterback room is obviously the very important part of this. And Ken Dorsey having experience as a quarterback who was capable of being in the NFL but wasn't actually very good, I do think makes for a good quarterback coach. I think that there's a case to be made that Ken Dorsey might be a better quarterback coach than he is offensive coordinator. And coordinating the offense is one thing. Calling plays, I do think, is something else. Because there is a ton that goes into every single week in the NFL. Way more than just the guy who dials up the plays on Sunday. There's so much more that goes into putting
together
a plan.
Even though it's all we talk about.
It's all we talk about because it's what we see. We're not at practice every day. We're never in meetings. We don't see what actually goes on that leads up until Sunday, but there's a ton that goes on. So just because Ken Dorsey's not calling plays here doesn't mean that he's not very important to the Browns' success offensively.
Well, and generally, those guys that stick around the NFL as the backup quarterback, the Ken Dorseys, the Alex Van Pelts, those guys that do 10 years in the NFL as a backup quarterback, they're not there because of their athletic ability.
Right.
It's because the things they do in play breaking down and the ways they help the starting quarterback, who's probably, you know, the most dynamic player on the field during the game, but managing how they get through the week. And that's really what he's doing here now, right, is managing how they're able to go into the game and be knowledgeable of what the game plan is when Sunday comes around.
I view position coaches in the NFL that have played in the NFL a lot like I view NBA head coaches that played in the NBA. So the way I look at that, if you were like an all-time great NBA player or a Hall of Fame level NBA player, it's pretty rare that you're also going to be a really good coach. There are a few exceptions to that, but for the most part, if you were great as a basketball player, it's hard to be a great head coach too. If you were okay, if you had to do a lot to get by, a guy like Tyronn Lue comes to mind here, you can make, I think, a better coach because you know what everything that had to go in. But when you're someone like Steve Nash, who was an MVP in the league, it's easier to not be a good head coach because the game came a little bit easier to you. Like, I think LeBron would be a terrible head coach because of how good he is in the NBA. And there are obviously exceptions to every rule. Like, Jason Kidd was a Hall of Famer, and I think he's a pretty good head coach too. But even then, it took him three tries to figure out how to be a good head coach.
And this goes to show just how little we know about this part of the game, actual individual development. Like, if you were to ask the average Browns fan, or at least a Browns fan that's dialed in on social media, that, you know, we're all only privy to so much information. Like, if you were to ask who has the most influence over, like, mechanics and footwork to Deshaun Watson, who would most people say? I know who I would say.
I would say
the guy not employed by the Browns.
Yeah.
I'd say Quincy Avery.
Probably, yeah.
Right? Because yeah. You see,
that's a good, I wasn't even thinking about
who
that.
Who does he spend the most time with?
Yeah.
Who on social media, when you see him throwing the football around and working on his game, who do you see him with? It's Quincy Avery. Mm-hmm. It's somebody that he goes back a long way with. And I'm not even saying good or bad on that. I don't know much about.
No, it's just the truth.
Yeah, it's like Quincy Avery, we
That's
see.
That's a great point.
He's very active on social media, obviously, when he's not, you know, blocking people who rip on Deshaun Watson or Quincy Avery. Like, he's very active on social media. The Browns don't pay him. That I know of.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Unless there's a consulting fee or anything like that.
Well, if they pay them, they're not getting enough out of it. Like, if he's not actually on the staff, if he's not actually around, they're not getting enough out of it.
Or if it's only, like, you know, $1,000 a week. It's a pretty good deal.
I look, I'm only bringing up that because it shows you how little we know. Like, I always wondered if you were getting a moment of honesty from any of these coaches around the NFL when it comes to their star players and who the people around them are. Like, what? How do they feel about their trainers? We know how Bill Belichick felt about Tom Brady and the people around him.
I think it's different at that specific position because there are guys that, you know, Nick Chubb works out with people in the offseason. Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. I'm sure, works out with people in the offseason.
100%.
But those guys, because of the position that they play, I don't think are as influential to what actually happens on the field. Where with the quarterback, because it's so much, you know, it is so mechanical at times and there's so much that goes into it. And maybe it's because we think about footwork with the quarterback position more.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah,
you know, their offensive linemen go to offensive line specific coaches in the offseason, but we don't think about it that same way. And maybe it's because things have to be structured certain ways for certain teams and certain systems at certain other positions. But the quarterback position, I think you bring up a great point.
Well,
there.
Here's what I mean. You're talking about Ken Dorsey maybe as being a really good quarterback coach. If Ken Dorsey came in after watching all the tape of Deshaun Watson and in the interview process, he sat down with Kevin Stefanski and said, I don't like the way his hips are opening up. I don't like the way he's throwing the football. I don't like the mechanics there. I don't like the windup. These are things. Here's the difference between what I saw to Deshaun Watson on film that I studied for this interview from last year, and here's how he looked in, you know, 2018. Mm-hmm. There's a difference here.
Big difference.
Okay, what happens next? Does Kevin Stefanski say, okay, let's get to work. Let's go back to the lab. Let's go look at the footwork. Let's break down the basics. Or do they go, hey, let's call his quarterback coach that he works with and he's with every day that also is one of his best friends that he works with? Like, you could understand that could get kind of tenuous.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason why a lot of, and certainly at the college level, a lot of programs do not like when quarterbacks specifically go work with outside coaches, because oftentimes coaches feel, actual football coaches, coaches that are employed by a program or an organization, feel as if those guys, those quarterback-specific coaches, can do more harm than good, because if nothing is broken, they feel like they have to change something to be worth it. And that's not always a good thing.
I don't know. Maybe we just put Dorsey and Quincy in a room. Shut the door and figure it out.
And
right?
I don't know anything. Maybe Quincy is the best. He's got some great, great clients.
Sure.
Maybe Quincy is the best of the best. But I wonder how the Browns feel about that.
I don't know. Because I don't have that answer. That's a great question.
Because who's doing the coaching? Who's getting Deshaun Watson back to where he needs to get to? Is it a partnership? Boy, that's an interesting thing. Like, the Browns are paying guys a lot of money to try to.
Well, you would think if it's a partnership, then one of those guys would be on the sideline during the game, and he's not.
Yeah, where is he?
California? I don't know.
I'm always curious.
Be at the house.
I'm always a little surprised it doesn't come up more, by the way. Like, it did with Tom Brady, and I know that it wasn't a quarterback guru. It wasn't somebody going over his mechanics. Yeah. But it was Guerrero, right?
Oh, Guerrero, yeah.
It was his actual dietitian, right, and trainer and all of that. And that became very contentious behind the scenes.
TB12 method, right? That's where that all came from.
But
right?
The thing is, with Tom Brady, it all worked. So that almost created different problems. Like, how much access should they have? Well, it's working. Would I be prepared to, if all this stuff was working with Deshaun Watson, I'd be like, here.
But, I mean, franchises do certain things, especially with the quarterback. You know, how many quarterbacks have had an office? Russell Wilson, and it obviously didn't work out in Denver, but when he first went there, Russell Wilson had a wing of, you know, Mile High Stadium was his. And you know, when they made changes, when Peyton came in, he said, we're not doing that anymore. But Brett Favre famously always had his own office. Manning had his own off, you know, their own style of things. And
Ken Carmen has his own parking spot.
Yeah. And you get, when you're the man, you get special privileges, just like Ken.
One of these days, I strive to get there.
You'll get there.
Another question that I feel like people are kind of glossing over when it comes to the Browns this year, and Albert Breer hit on this. You have a new offensive line coach. You're replacing one of the best to ever do it, and maybe the best in the game right now. Bill Callahan, of course, went to join his son in Tennessee. Listen to what Albert Breer said about Andy Dickerson taking over as the new offensive line coach.
I think almost as interesting as the coordinator change to me is the offensive line coach change. You know, Andy Dickerson is very well thought of, but Bill Callahan was the best in the sport. And so that part of it, I think, is going to be really interesting, seeing what happens with Andy Dickerson taking over for Bill Callahan.
Could I make the case, Danny, that that is a bigger story for the Cleveland Browns going into training camp than anything we just spent the last hour and 35 on when it came to who's calling
absolutely.
The plays.
Absolutely, you can make that case. Because
why didn't we lead the show with that then?
Because it's not sexy. It's not.
Why was Dickerson not in front of the the microphones yesterday answering the tough questions?
That should have been the lead.
Because it's not sexy. But it is. I mean, this is an organization that offensively, they've done well. Because the offensive line has been good. Because they've been able to develop guys like Wyatt Teller. Someone like DeJuan Jones can step in last year and be awesome when he's healthy before he had to have knee surgery that ended his year. And Bill Callahan gets a lot of credit for that. And he should. So you don't know what it's going to look like when Bill Callahan's not here. And that actually, I think that is something that should be a bigger deal than the play calling to fans. Is what's the offensive line going to look like when they don't have the best offensive line coach? But in the same breath, you know, Wyatt Teller made those comments the other day about he's excited to play football again. And how much of that has to do with having a new offensive line coach.
That one was
too.
An eye-opener to me.
It was. It was.
And it wasn't that Wyatt Teller was saying anything negative about Callahan and his ability to coach.
No.
Like he, you could tell there was a push and pull there throughout that article with Tyler Dunn, his one-on-one. When he was like, you know, I didn't really love this. I didn't really love playing for him, but he also got a lot out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he also helped me get to the next level and figure out how I could be the best I could be.
I don't think Wyatt Teller would be Wyatt Teller if not for Bill Callahan. I don't.
Well, and so the one we're all going to point to and the one that's going to be under the microscope this year is DeJuan Jones. I mean, that is somebody who you imagine when Bill Callahan had the chance to work with him and saw the physical traits. He was probably thinking, how is this guy not a first-round pick? This is a steal.
I mean, you watched him through the first few games he played, and you thought, how did this guy last until the fourth round?
The T.J. Watt videos.
Right. I mean, I watch that video every day. That's why T.J. Watt didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, that play specifically.
Ken sends those videos to Filippone every single day.
I mean, somebody needs to. Somebody. That's why they're so mad in Pittsburgh, that video.
All right.
Couldn't handle a rookie tackle.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.